You may be seated, and I invite you to open up a Bible to Acts chapter 19. Sorry about the voice disappearing every once in a while. We're still dealing with the after effects of something silly called bronchitis. I graduated from the cold into bronchitis. Wasn't that wonderful? But God was good. He provided some wonderful pills and some great cough medicine. So I'm grateful for that. This is Acts chapter 19. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior of the province and arrived in Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" "We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit," they answered. "Well then, what kind of baptism did you receive?" Paul asked. "The baptism of John," they replied. Paul said, "The baptism of John was for those who turn from their sins, and he told the people of Israel to believe in the one who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul placed his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke in strange tongues and also proclaimed God's message. There were about 12 men in all. Paul went into the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly with the people, holding discussions with them and trying to convince them about the kingdom of God. But some of them were stubborn and would not believe. And before the whole group, they said evil things about the way of the Lord. So Paul left them and took the believers with him, and every day he held discussions in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the people who lived in the province of Asia, both the Jews and the Gentiles, heard the word of the Lord. God was performing unusual miracles through Paul. Even handkerchiefs and aprons he had used were taken to the sick, and their diseases were driven away, and the evil spirits would go out of them. Some Jews who traveled around and drove out evil spirits also tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus to do this. They said to the evil spirits, "I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches." 7 brothers, who were the sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva, were doing this. But the evil spirit said to them, "I know Jesus, and I know about Paul, but you, who are you?" The man who had the evil spirit in him attacked them with such violence that he overpowered them all. They ran away from his house, wounded and with their clothes torn off. All the Jews and the Gentiles who lived in Ephesus heard about this. They were all filled with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was given great honor. Many of the believers came, publicly admitting and revealing what they had done. Many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in public. They added up the price of the books, and the total came to 50,000 silver coins. In this powerful way, the word of the Lord kept spreading and growing stronger. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. Pray with me just for a minute. Oh, Heavenly Father, this morning as I get to share, would you add to it what is needed that we might grow in our faith and our love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible is this wonderful collection of books. They are the marvelous works of God's ingenuity to help us grow in our faith. And within them, we find this word to tell us what the Bible is good for. It's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the Bible, there are many kinds of literature. We find wonderful poetry, we find narrative stories, we find these letters that come, the epistles from Paul. We find prophecy, and we find songs. Most of the Psalms, or at least a good bit of them, are actually hymns of the faith. Wouldn't it be fun if we could get, you know, John and Kim, see, they left for a moment, and so now I can talk about them. And wouldn't it be fun if they knew the tunes and could sing the songs? But today, we read another literary style in the Bible. This is the book of Acts. It's a history book. And I know some of you, and me too, didn't get too excited about history when we were in school, did we? But you know what? I've learned that history is fascinating. And so now, today, we get to look at this history book that recounts the early days of the church. The early days of the church and the people who were believing and coming into belief. And it commonly was called the Way. And if you're following along with the reading plan that I gave you for the new year, you'll come into reading Acts in the middle of June. So I want you to know that this records the history, part of which is a man named Paul. And in all of the story of Christianity, there is no better example of a changed life than the Apostle Paul. And we all know the story. He was trained as a Pharisee. He dedicated his life and his ministry to protecting the law, especially from those upstart Christians that were coming along and believing in Jesus. And yet, in a single encounter, an encounter with Jesus himself, Saul was transformed into the Apostle Paul. And God gave him a powerful voice and a powerful witness for God's kingdom, not just with his preaching and teaching, but with the way he lived his life, his lifestyle. You see, Paul and the very early church that we read about today, they were on a mission for God. They had good news. And anytime you have good news, you can't keep it to yourself. You just have to share it. And it was such good news, it was even worth going elsewhere to tell it in other places. It was worth telling even in the face of opposition. Where we're at right now, Paul is on his third missionary journey. He's out there in an attempt to correct some of the damage that's been caused amongst the churches by false teaching, by opponents to the gospel. And in his travels, he gets to Ephesus, and there he finds this small group of people. They were believers. And he starts talking with them, and they get around to the story of what has happened to you so far in your faith and in your knowledge of Jesus. And he asks them, he says, what kind of a baptism have you had? And they said, well, we had the baptism of John. Well, John's baptism is a baptism of repentance. It's one of going to God and saying, I'm sorry for throwing the rock through Mr. Gruff's window, and I'm going to turn from that, and I'm going to do things different next time so I don't cause any problems. But Paul says, you know, there's more. There's more to this. Have you heard about the Holy Spirit? And they had to say no, they hadn't heard about that. And so Paul got to share more of the gospel story, more of the wonder of God being present with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And then he baptized them again. By the way, in Scripture, this is the only place that it records a second baptism for people. And he baptized them with the Holy Spirit, because he wanted them to have all of God's power. Because he knew that's what they needed to be able to stand up in face of everybody else in Ephesus. There were so many pagan religions around there that, you know, the yellow pages were full of them. As Paul shared this good news, there were some folks that didn't believe. You know, it was amazing. Actually, Paul got to Ephesus and he went to the temple, the synagogue, and he started preaching, and they let him preach and teach there for 3 months before they threw him out. Most people, they wouldn't have given him that much grace, that much time. And then when Paul gets thrown out of the church, he says, okay, I'll just go down the street and I'll find this empty building, and I'm going to preach and teach there. And he did that for 2 years. It's amazing the grace that God gave him. But there were those that were opposed to him, and they slandered him. They criticized him. And they complained and criticized the way. What you and I know as Christianity. So one of the lessons that we learn from this history in Acts today is that if you're going to be in ministry, if you're going to have the good news, and you're willing to share it, you're going to find opposition. Because you see, excellent ministry always meets exceptional opposition. Now, as believers that are serious about living faithfully for Jesus and proclaiming the gospel, you and I are not only going to meet resistance, but sometimes we meet persecution. I have a close friend, and his whole family was home for Christmas. And right after Christmas, his eldest son called him up and said, "You know, in the whole family, I'm the one that doesn't believe. And I come home for Christmas and you ram Christ down my throat. I'm tired of that. I will not come to your house anymore." And so now we're praying that the light of Christ and the compassion of Christ will come upon that young man so that he can be restored to his family. And we're also praying for the father and the mother in the midst of having the good news but being persecuted, having great opposition. You see, there's a price to pay sometimes for faithfulness to the gospel. Following Christ is expensive, my friends. It's expensive in terms of your time and your effort and your energy and sometimes, oh yes, your money. So the one real question that I have for you this morning in this message: are you willing to pay the price so that others can know Jesus? Oh, by the way, the rewards are great for sharing the good news, for living a life that's faithful. None of us are perfect, but we can be faithful and we can grow in our perfection. This is Matthew 16. It talks about the rewards Matthew 16, starting in verse 25, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." And the reward, you see, is eternal life. Listen to this. This is from Revelation 7. "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them." Can you imagine that? In heaven, God will put his tent over us. We'll be protected, we'll be sheltered, we'll be included in the household of God. And then verse 16, "Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst, the sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat." And when I read that the other day, I realized when you go to heaven, don't bother to take your sunscreen. We're not going to be scorched by the heat. Verse 17, "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water." And listen to this. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." In heaven, there is no hurt. There is no disappointment. There is no longing for something that you don't have yet. Because you'll have everything you need, everything in heaven. For the Apostle Paul, God wanted to make sure that the world knew of his ministry and how he was God's person to bring the message to the Gentiles. And so God did some very interesting and wonderful things at this time in Ephesus. And that's why it's fascinating to read history. Paul, you see, had discovered a great truth. I would put it this way. It isn't me, God. It's you in me. Paul knew. It wasn't him. It was God in him. And then it tells us in verse 12 that even the handkerchiefs that he used, Paul was a tent maker, by the way, so he was working the same time he was in ministry, and he had to have something to wipe the sweat from his forehead, and so it was cloths, handkerchiefs that he used, and then he wore an apron, you know, to protect his clothing and himself, and the disciples would take, the believers would take those cloths, those handkerchiefs, the aprons, to the demon-possessed, the sick people, and they were cured, and the demons were driven out. Can you imagine that? God wanting to use you in ways that seem totally unimaginable? Ah, but he does. Now, I don't think any of us are going to have to worry about our handkerchief supply. Because you see, this gift that was given to Paul to do that was only in the scriptures, was only given to Paul and Peter, the shadow of Peter that could heal people, and Jesus himself. But we can sure go and do what God tells us. Another thing about this business of the handkerchiefs, you and I need to be careful. That's why I've called this sermon Prayerful and Careful. Because there's a bunch of crooks out there. And they'll try to tell you that they have the power. If you'll just send $9.95 plus shipping, they'll send you a piece of cloth that has been blessed by yada yada and has had spoken over it the precise words that you need to take care of yada yada yada. And let me tell you, they're all crooks. They're charlatans is what they would call them in Paul's day. So just be careful. As believers, we go, it tells us to do this in James, and we go to the sick and we anoint them with oil and we pray for them. And then we allow God to heal them. And And every time one of us does that, we have to help people understand it's not the oil. The oil is nothing more than oil. But it's a symbol of the very love and grace and power of God that we anoint you with for God to be at work in you. And then there's this whole business of the seven sons of Sceva. And they illustrate, too, why we need to be careful. I just am fascinated by this story. Because you see, Sceva billed himself as a high priest. But you know, the Jews are very careful about keeping all the records of all the high priests. And if you go and look at those records, you're not going to find Sceva's name anywhere. Sceva was self-anointed and self-appointed the high priest. Why? Because he could go to places and he could say, I'll pray for you if you give me a couple bucks. And I can do things that ordinary people can't because I'm a high priest. Well, his seven sons saw that happening. And they thought, this is pretty good. And so they were going from town to town. And now they had learned about Jesus and the miracles that he had. And they had learned about Paul's power. And so now they're going out in and around the neighborhood and they're telling people, in the name of Jesus, you can be healed. In the name of Jesus, you can have your demons driven out of you. Except they were crooks. They were charlatans. They didn't have the power of God in them. And so one day they come in on a man and he's demon-possessed. And they, I'm sure, used all of their magic words. None of them real. And the demon in the man rose up and he said, now wait a minute. I know Jesus. I know Paul and Jesus in Paul. But you guys, I don't know you. And then he proceeded to beat the snot out of them. It says that they were bleeding and they were naked when they ran out of the house. Those seven were lucky that they got away with their lives. If the demon shows up this morning here in this sanctuary, would he know that you have the power of Jesus in you? That you belong to Jesus? Would he be able to say, I know you who you are because Jesus is in you? Or would he say, I don't know you? Paul talks about some of the practices in the town that were going on. Ephesus was a, oh good Lord, it was a messy place. Really needed Christ. Maybe that's why God allowed Paul to be there for almost 3 years. And part of Paul's message was that you have to give up some things, some practices in your life if you're going to follow God. You know, there's only one sin that Jesus has never forgiven in you. It's the one that you have not confessed to him yet. And as soon as you do, you can have forgiveness. But Paul speaks about some of the things that are still bothering us today. The whole business of the horoscope and the newspaper every day. This business of psychic readings. Driving down one of the streets in Appleton the other night, I go past a place and I could have dropped in for a psychic reading, a palm reading. And I thought, nah, I know the one that knows me better than you do. And then there's other things. The Ouija board, the tarot cards. And sometimes we get involved in that and we just think it's fun and it's a game. But the Bible is very serious about it. God is very serious about it. He says this in Deuteronomy 18. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. I'm less than blameless, but I know the one who can help me be blameless. So I talk to him all the time, and I urge you to also. This was a very serious thing in Paul's day. It still is in our day, this whole business of doing things that are not of God's will. And it tells us in money terms. If you and I can't understand a lot of other things in the Bible, we can understand in money. Paul was so convincing that many of those who practiced sorcery brought all of their books, they brought them into the center of the town, and they had a big bonfire, and they burned them up. And in one translation, it says it was 50,000 drachma. A drachma is a silver coin that was equal to one day's wage. So if you use $6.50 an hour, okay, and you burned up 50,000 days' wages, it's $2.6 million in our money today. Oh, beloved of God, there are some things that we shouldn't ought to be into. And we need to get shed out of our lives. You will only know them if you're prayerful and you're careful. And then when you let them go, actually the Lord will just allow them to drift away from you. It won't hurt a bit, and He'll replace them with wonderful things. Then when it comes time and we leave here, then our reward will be found in eternal life in the very tent of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of life that you promise us even after this one. Help us to learn how to love you more, O God, and how to love our neighbor more. And then help us to share the good news. It is in your name that we pray, Jesus. Amen.